Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Challenge Battle of the Bloodlines Wrap Up Podcast for episode 11. I am Brian Cohen. Here with me, as always, is my co-host, Allie Lesher. Allie, how are you?
Brian, as usual, I have a big problem with you. And that is, you know, it's like we chat before the podcast. We've met each other outside of this podcast. Like, I hear you talking normally. And all of a sudden, we get on the podcast, and this Long Island bullshit accent comes out. And it's like, you're so fake. And I don't even understand where this accent is coming from. You're fake.
I'm from the same town as Kenny Santucci, okay?
You're both fake.
I'm not actually, but he was the closest one I think that could possibly be from Long Island.
I bought it. I'm doing great, and I have no problems with you. I have so little problems with you that I'm excited to announce officially, formally, as of today, Brian has agreed to be seen with me in public in April. Yes. At the Live Know-It-Alls.
I'm going. Woo!
He's gonna pretend to be my friend, but I'll be in disguise, so any tomatoes that might be thrown in our direction can miss Brian's delicate frame.
I almost didn't go Sunday night. I asked you, like, when are tickets going up? Because as an idiot, I missed the post, and I almost didn't get it. It was sold out extremely fast this time around.
Yeah, I mean, friends in high places. I'll help you out.
Yeah, I don't want to have to pull strings to get in. I want to get in with the general, the G-pop.
By pull strings, you mean what I had to do, which was beg Josh Wigler to let me in, and then he pretended I was his family's because he felt terrible for me.
Wigler doesn't even know who I am, so I'll be in bad shape.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did that make it sound like he knows who I am? It's just like desperate plea.
Here's breaking, not breaking news, but like exciting news in my life. So after a couple of years of like being really friendly on Twitter, I finally got the follow back from TJ. And
wow,
it's one of the great moments of my life.
Yo, you killed it.
I woke up to the TJ Lavin for now follows you on Twitter. And like, I'm like, all right, why do I even have to get out of bed today? Like, my day's now made.
What I love is that I can hear the pure bliss in your voice. It's very pure. It's very, like, childlike. I'm really enjoying this moment with you.
Every once in a while, I occasionally go on his Twitter page just to see the follows you. And I smile.
Is that going to replace Yawn That Bitch as your cover photo?
It honestly might. Because what happened was, I tweeted something about, like, I tagged him in a tweet, and he DM'd me, ha-ha. And
whoa!
I almost fell off my couch. So I'm like, TJ, you're DMing me. Can't you just follow me? And then he followed me.
Did you say that?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, you asked for the...
I had to ask for the follow. Because I hate asking for a follow, but after all this... Like, he DMs me. I feel like when you get a DM from someone, like, you could ask for the follow.
I'm not going to take this away from you.
I feel like he didn't know he didn't follow me. I'm going to go with that story.
However you get there, you got there. It's not the journey, it's the destination.
I'm here.
How many more things can I say? The means justify the ends.
Yeah,
the ends justify the means.
Both of them fit.
Well, Mazel Tov, that's wonderful. And are you going to get him on the podcast? This quick jump from follow. He has done podcast interviews before.
Yes, I actually interviewed him once.
What are you waiting for? I'll send him my microphone. He can have my microphone.
I can try to get him back. I'll slide into his DMs.
Gross. Wow, that's great news.
It is.
I've never been this legitimately happy for you.
Thank you. If only my real BFF, Johnny Bananas, will follow me back. That would be a nice twist.
I thought you were going to say, if only my real BFF would be happy for me. I was like, whoa, let's get deep here. First of all, I'm not your real BFF. Second of all, who's bullying you?
This is a safe place.
That's what I'm luring you in now, and then I'm just gonna strike. Okay, I want to start off with, it's sort of a correction, it's sort of a comment from last week. So we got a comment on robhosawebsite.com in our comments thread from EFRT who said, you say how Johnny not making a final is a disappointment for him. Who else would you say that about? No one. And I think this is an excellent point. And I want to go back a little bit to what I said last week. For anyone who's been following politics this year, it's very like Iowa caucusy of us. It's like very, like Mark Rubio came in third place. Like, what a triumph. That's a victory for him. But like Donald Trump came in second. Like, he sucks now. Everyone hates him. It is very, I think, say the expectation that Johnny has to make a final and win. Otherwise, he's lost his edge, only really serves to support that he is like the top dog. So I didn't mean to take away or accuse him of not being the top dog currently on the challenge. And yeah. I think that that's a great point, that the expectations of him are way higher than anyone else.
I mean, he's the Patriots of this thing. He's the Yankees of the way the Yankees used to be, not anymore. But he's that type of figure where if they don't win, it's a failure.
Name one more sports team that I hate. Like, I'm trying to be nice here, and it's like, like, let's talk about the Patriots for a second.
Oh. No, let's please not. Please not.
Are you a Patriots fan?
No, I've God, no.
Okay, I was like, if you're a Patriots fan, then you're just jumping on bandwagons left and right.
I laugh. I was a Yankee fan from very young, so no bandwagons left there. I laughed hysterically for 24 hours straight when they lost, so no Patriot fan.
And last thing from last week that I don't think we touched on, because we kind of glossed over the after show, but we missed probably the most essential thing to ever come from any after show in the history of after shows. Billy Gross says, I know it's a week late, but was anyone else shocked that Mitch was described as a frat boy during the after show recap episode?
I think that just means he went to college, like, as opposed to Corey. There's no way he's a frat boy.
That's just like nondescript white guy who drinks. Yeah. Like, let's be a frat boy. But maybe he could have been in a fraternity, but he just definitely isn't a frat boy stereotype.
No, definitely not.
Love you, Mitch. I love you.
This episode produced an I got swooped up in the Mitch Watch phenomenon this episode because it was so perfect.
Tell me more. Grease Live reference.
I didn't watch. I'm sorry.
I didn't either, but I was dancing and you can't see it because this is Skype. All right, let's get to the episode.
Let's do it. Kara, pumped to be in Berlin. Everyone's pumped to be in Berlin except, I mean, Jenna's pumped. She doesn't even know where she is, though.
I need to know. Did Kara say she was lit?
Did she?
Because I wrote down she's lit. I said Kara is lit, and I'm like really upset at myself that I used the word lit if that wasn't what she said. That was just me. Oh my God.
That's your note.
I'm losing it.
Was it on Fleek?
I wrote Kara is lit - stoked for Berlin. Kill me. Any hate now is officially warranted because I wrote lit and stoked in one. All right, let's
move
on.
That's like two generations of like adjectives too.
I'm an enigma, baby.
Yeah.
And I just said baby. Okay, so yeah, Jenna had a little flub. Haley Strong wants to know, do you know which continent Berlin is on?
Europe, right? Is that right? That's right. I'm right.
That was a really spot on impression.
Thank you.
So Jenna tweeted, in her own defense, everyone makes fun of me not knowing where Berlin was, but I do know all 50 states in ABC order.
I also call bullshit on that, unless she just memorized the song.
She obviously is referencing 50 Nifty, and if that's the song that everyone else knows, maybe that's a New Jersey thing. I didn't realize it was an either-or thing to know the states, or, like, you either know the states or where Berlin is, and then you're set.
No, it definitely should not be an either-or thing. I'm pretty sure that that's all, like, in one lesson in, like, second grade social studies.
You know what else wasn't taught in my social studies or any class is whether or not period is a verb.
You can take over this entire discussion. I have no input in this. This was I don't need to discuss this.
You're acting a little standoffish. Are you perioding, Brian?
The only period that I like to think of is, as Anissa said, the one that ends a sentence. So let's go with that.
Oh, I just for a second you were getting really uncomfortable and then you like really nailed it and I'm upset. Good job.
Thank you.
But yeah, this kind of foreshadows Anissa and Rihanna's beef, mm-hmm. in quotes.
I mean, they had to give them something as this is their send-off episode. So this was the send-off they got.
Whoa, spoiler alert.
For those who don't watch the episode but listen to the podcast.
So Anissa uses...
I will still never understand those people, by the way. I know you say you do that for stuff and you know people who do. I just will never understand that.
Wait, understand what people?
People who listen to a podcast of a show they don't watch.
Oh. Don't alienate like 50% of our listeners.
I just like, how do you like follow? I don't know. I just can't grasp it.
Because a good recap takes you beat by beat. The key is, if you want to stop watching the challenge, but you still want to hang out with us virtually... You watch the first episode so you know who the people are, what the format is.
That's fair.
Then you stop watching and it'll take you right to the finale. Like, I've done that with the Top Chef podcast that happens on the reality TV wrap-ups. I have done that with a couple episodes of The Bachelor in seasons past. Don't tell anyone. So that's how you do it. You don't just, like, come in blind, like, I've never seen the show, I have no idea what's going on, and listen
to this. Okay, fair enough.
I mean, you can do what you want. Free country.
Yeah, you do you.
Okay. So... Huge. I'm doing like big arms here because it's so big. Huge breaking news. Anissa and Rihanna have never met before this season of Bloodlines.
Is it possible they're not even related? Like, if so, if like if there was like a thing that came out that like Rihanna was actually not her cousin, but actually just like a family friend or even like further away from that, would you be that surprised?
I'm just shocked in general because I thought they seemed like some of the most like similar in personality. Like, I felt like they were really getting along. They both were going towards the same bloodlines. Like, they hooked up with Corey and Mitch. Like, I just really thought they were in sync pretty much this whole season. Well, maybe that's because we didn't see Rihanna. I'm not sure. But it blew my mind. The only reason I would, yes, if we were watching this without the after show, sure, nothing would surprise me after this, but they did clarify the relationship on the after show. It's like her grandpa is like Anissa's uncle's brother's sister.
Sure, we can go with that.
But do you remember? I wrote it down because I was like, this is hilarious.
I didn't write it down.
So Anissa said on the after show that they met because her uncle, she said, we met at my uncle.
I thought they met at a funeral, right?
So it was my uncle / her grandfather's funeral. So Anissa's uncle was Rihanna's grandfather, and I am my own grandpa. Like, this is unbelievable.
I just can't like get over the fact that you want to get to know someone and you go on the challenge to do it. In what world are you gonna get to know them in like a good sense?
From what I've heard from people desperately justifying their relationships from reality TV dating shows, 3 days in a reality show is like 6 years in real life.
But it's such a warped environment. Like, it has no semblance to real life.
I mean, I think Anissa, what Anissa says on the after show makes sense in that, like, I wanted someone to fit the theme. We had met a couple times. I thought, oh my God, you're perfect for this. You're young. You're fun. And, like, Rihanna's been getting a lot of shit, and justifiably so, for her lack of appearance, her purple Rihanna edit on the show. But Rihanna is hilarious on Twitter. Like, she's actually someone I'm definitely going to keep following after the season ends. And so I feel like in real life, she probably is really funny. And Anissa recognized her as someone who would get cast on the show. And so she was like, perfect. I need someone. I don't really think, oh, I got here to get to... You're not there to get to know each other. You get to know each other over like a bottle of wine or some coffee. You don't get to know each other competing for money on television.
I wonder how many people turned Anissa down before she went to Rihanna. Like, it had to be at least a couple, right? Like, there had to be at least a couple of people in her life that would have been better.
I don't know. I feel like they're like... I think they really liked these like interracial bloodlines happening this season. I'm telling you, like, Rihanna has personality. It just wasn't shown on the show. Mm. I mean, who knows? I don't know anything about Anissa's family.
I know nothing.
Tell me more.
I'm honestly happy to keep it that way.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, this was shocking to me. Do you think any other bloodlines don't really have a real relationship?
Not really, because I feel like a lot of them, they always try to make a point to show some picture of them as a kid to, like, prove to the audience that, yes, guys, these are people actually related. And, like, they didn't really have any of that.
I don't know that I know how much Vince and Bananas, like, were really close. I feel like Brianna and Jenna have a history, clearly. Jamie and Kara went to high school together.
Who? Oh, cuz. Okay.
Who else was on the show? Corey and Mitch. I don't know that Corey and Mitch, I mean, I think they were kind of open about their lack of a relationship.
Well, didn't they say, I thought they said they lived together.
Oh, when?
Didn't they say they lived together for a year on the after show?
Oh.
Did I imagine that?
Look, I was probably distracted by almost anything besides listening to Corey and Mitch. I don't know.
I could have sworn they said they lived together for a year.
I'm just remembering, that's probably fair. I'm just remembering, like, in the beginning, like, Mitch was just like, oh, I was, like, really excited anytime I got to hang out with Corey because, like, he was cool at his high school and, like, I'm working on social stuff. But I just thought this was shocking. I actually went back to our like preview notes to see if I could find a video or anything. And they were pretty vague about their relationship. Like most of it was actually about how Anissa would hook up with a rookie. So I guess they did mask it, but it's very bizarre that I think it's bizarre that MTV even showed this scene.
About just them confessing that they don't know each other.
Yeah, like I thought that I'm jumping way ahead of my notes. I'm just trying to catch up.
But I mean, it makes sense because that was like their storyline for this episode, right? That they didn't really know each other. They were trying to get along and Rihanna felt alone. So that was kind of like their arc.
Well, that's the one thing is I think like this is potentially a benefit of everyone else being so boring is that we have to get like somewhat of a real story that they wouldn't normally want shown if they had any other choice.
I mean, again, they're coloring this episode. Why are they coloring so much? This is the second straight episode. It opens with them coloring.
Oh, do you have a problem with crayons too? Nicole and Rob talked about their issue with crayons.
I mean, they were fun when it was like in kindergarten, but like what's happening?
So similar to what you were saying, well, this actually addresses exactly what you said. Judah Ray Almario said to Denise, have no one else to bring on this season. And given all the talk that they don't know each other, I think the more important question is, are Rihanna and Anissa really cousins?
Yeah, I think it's a fair question. I mean, there's no way this was her first choice. I don't know if she has a brother or whoever, but she has to have someone that she felt would be just a better like physical partner to like help her in challenges with.
Well, that's fair.
Like, I'm sure Rihanna's like fun and all that, but I mean, you wouldn't like be like, oh my God, I got to bring Rihanna on the show. We're going to kill it on the challenges. Like, at the very least, you have to think about someone like that.
Can you break down what was at the heart of this issue? I mean, like, we saw them fighting throughout pretty much the whole episode, but like, what was the issue between them?
It seemed like Rihanna wasn't getting enough attention from Anissa. That's what it seemed like. It seems she was being ignored, that she felt alone. That's what I was getting at.
I mean, what was shocking to me is when Corey starts getting involved and telling Anissa how Rihanna feels. I'm like, when did Corey become Dr. Phil over here? Like, he's the one who, like, his girlfriend was pregnant on the show and he just kind of, like, sent her home. Like, when did he become, like, Mr. Feels?
Yeah, people always turn to him to talk to. Like, this is not the first time this season that someone's, like, confided in Corey and Mitch.
One thing I will say is that a friend of mine tweeted to me that when Rihanna says she does corporate fashion merchandising and she dropped her life to come here, that her LinkedIn, and I have not verified this is coming to us from the people, that she's like a sales associate part-time at a Lacoste store.
Mm-hmm.
And all due respect for people moving up in the fashion industry, but I feel like she misrepresented her occupation.
That's a stutter. Someone on MTV show misrepresenting their occupation. Listen, if you are able to like drop your life and go on the challenge, I think it's fair to say your occupation was not that important to begin with. Like, I'm just going to say that. I think that's fair.
Yeah, I mean, you can widen that scope probably to any reality show. Or you're so important that they're willing to like let you leave for a couple months.
I'm going to lean towards the former.
So whose side are you on here?
Is there a side? Like, I just think Rihanna's being like prissy and Anissa's probably ignoring her and being annoying. I think they're both annoying. So what can you know?
I think a lot of this episode is like the pressure of being the leader here in the pair and the pressure of being close to a final that when you look around the room, you have a chance at is getting to Anissa. I think that's like kind of this whole episode. And I also,
I was going to say, like, that was the one thing that annoyed me is like, Anissa, like, they didn't really have a chance to win a final. Like, Anissa's saying, oh, I'm really worried about Rihanna's heart. That's going to hold us up in a final. It's like, no, it's not her heart that's going to hold you up. It's her ability in challenges that's going to hold you up. So it's like, they didn't have a chance anyway.
I don't think I'm not even saying to win, but like, depending on, I mean, they had a chance to win that final-esque challenge, depending on how much we feel that shows how they'll be in the final. I mean, when you're looking around the room and it's Carr and Jamie are your biggest competition, fine. Corey and Mitch have shown an ability to gas out. Jenna has shown a willingness to quit. You're not in a bad spot. Like, this is maybe the best spot Anissa's been in, at least in recent memory, and because she's actually there. And right.
That's a big part of it.
And I think when she's performing comparatively the best, not the best, I just want to say like one of her best performances she's showing, which is not saying that much, but. And Rihanna, I mean, that thing with the monkey bars, is like Rihanna is her like dead weight. I don't blame Anissa for being frustrated, but what's really frustrating throughout this entire episode was Anissa constantly not getting that if what she wants out of Rihanna is to care, she's doing the exact opposite to get that care, right? Like she's continually pushing her away because she's frustrated and Rihanna mm-hmm. is frustrated because she's being pushed away. So I was just like, oh.
Yeah, the scene with her, like, on the couch, just, like, twirling her hair as if, like, she's so above this. And, oh, look at little Rihanna just a little complaining. I don't give a crap. But she's, like, twirling her hair. That's not exactly a great motivation right there.
I think Anissa's probably also, like, that whole thing where you're saying, and you're 100% right about the, like, your heart thing. And that's the least of the problems. I mean, I don't think Anissa is that big of a bitch where she's going to go on TV and be like, Rihanna can't do anything. She's going to physically hold us back. Like, I think it sounds much nicer for her to be like, her heart's just not in it. Like she needs to have more heart and want this more. Right.
Yeah, that's the easy way. It's all, yeah, it goes to whoever wants it more, but no, it usually just goes to whoever's better. But that's like the crutch that people go to.
Although I don't know. Cause Anissa, I'm second guessing myself now. Cause Anissa does not believe in working out for the challenge, but we'll get to that later.
Right. Right.
Bullshit.
You want to go on a tour of Berlin?
Do I want to go on a tour of Berlin?
Well, that's what they did.
Are you offering me a trip?
If you could take, we could podcast from there.
Oh, do I want to travel with Brian? Yes.
Boom. Lock it up.
That's a firm commitment. And I have, however, like three witnesses who are listening to this podcast. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, tour it up.
Yeah, so they got to see the Berlin Wall, which I guarantee no one... They didn't know anything about that. So there's that. And then they saw a lamp that was really old. They were really impressed by that. And they saw a lot of things that they claimed were nowhere else in the world, even though they were looking at like buildings. So there you go.
It's like New York, but better.
Right. Which is, I mean, Anissa just like, go away. Hating on New York.
We're a little biased.
It's a tad.
I want to get your thoughts on this challenge. Is it okay if we skip the rest of Berlin?
Yeah, we can skip the sightseeing. No problem. I thought the challenge was awesome. They did this one either last season, two seasons ago, right? With jumping with cars and or between cars and stuff like that.
I want to say it was X's, right? Because I feel like I remember Jonna and Zach.
Was that last season? What was last season? Was last season X's?
Help me. It was last season because that's when Zach and Jenna got together.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Because then one of them got like their cords got like tied up or whatever. Yeah. Yeah, I thought this was awesome. This is what the challenge is really good at. This type of like extreme stuff that you would never do in like your everyday life and you're watching on TV and it just looks super cool, well produced.
So Tia Tanchone said, awesome challenge. Was this better than the one where they had to jump across semi-trucks, which I think was when they had to bring balls back and forth, which is what you're referencing.
Yeah.
I agree with you totally. Like the production value is amazing. It looks really cool. Cara Maria tweeted that like the stunt coordinators for Mad Max had set this up. I don't know that other than that, like that this challenge is really that interesting to watch.
Well, I'm glad this is again like one of those things where it's good that it was a few people. And that's usually the problem we have in the early episodes is that the challenge are cool. But like so many people have to go that after like a couple of people go, it's like, all right, now we get the hang of it. But I thought like only four teams, it was like right after the four teams, like, all right, this is I've seen it all. But then it was over. So like I never really got to the boring part.
And no, that's true. And what I liked about that is I thought you would like this too. I now think about your opinion when I'm watching the challenge. But when they had at least some evidence to support the time, when it's dependent on time, at least you could see like when they were crossing that support beam. Mm-hmm. So like we knew that Corey and Mitch like definitely won because we got that aerial shot, and I felt like, all right, let's at least, if we're gonna do it based on time, let's at least get some evidence. So I appreciated that.
Did you notice it seemed like Cara and Jamie got a bit of a raw deal, because when they got up to that black car, like when Jamie was, everyone else seemed like they were just like be able to walk on the bumper and just move on. It seemed like Jamie had to wait a little while to like and make like a decent leap to like get on the tire.
We had so many questions about that. But this one comes from Brian Cohen. yeah, I don't know. I wasn't sure if that was because they went first and the editing wanted to make it look like this was like a death defying thing and they were going to fall before the commercial break.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how much that was like they chose those angles or if that was real. I don't know what to believe in this situation. And would it surprise me if it was inconsistent? No. Do I think that Kara would complain about it? Yes. So
that's
I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's actually a good point. Kara definitely would have made us think about it on Twitter.
Someone tweeted at her and she was like, I didn't notice. Or James, one of them like wrote, like, I didn't notice if it was like so cool. I love TJ's opening. It's like, if you fall off these cars, you're going to get owned. So don't. Yeah. Thank you, TJ.
I am disappointed that no one fell, because I would like, I like, obviously they wouldn't have been hit by a car, but I just would have liked to see them like, well, like, they would have got pulled up. I'm just curious of what would have happened.
That's why I feel like this isn't that interesting of a challenge to watch once you see the first, like, the setup is cool. It makes for great promos. Like, we saw this 1,000 times, although people will say it's unfair because we knew it was Jenna 1,000 times. But there was no, like, who's going to fall. It was just like, okay, who's going to do it the fastest by, like, a couple seconds.
Right.
But I'm not, overall, I thought it was, you know, it was interesting. I mean, not interesting, but it was exciting.
What'd you make of Anissa being pissed that Kara wouldn't give them helpful pointers?
I just think that Anissa should have taken it more. Am I surprised that she took it offensively? No. Do I think that she should have said, like, I'm a veteran and I know that she's got trying to get in their head? Great. Let them get, let her get into their head and I'll stay focused and know it wasn't that bad. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought it was a great job by Kara. Like, the second she finished the challenge, like, her mind wasn't even on, like, her time. Her mind was on, like, all right, when we get back, we have to do this, this, and this. Like, her, she's been, like, in game mode for a lot of the season, so I've been impressed.
I wrote down eyes on the prize.
Yeah, she doesn't counter blessings, counter chickens, whatever the phrase is. I think both
I feel
of
like
them
she
are
could
right.
Count her blessings, but that's a, you want to count your blessings.
Right, so she doesn't count her chickens. She doesn't count her chickens before they hatch. So I'll go with that one.
One thing I want to just go back to quickly is that we get to see Corey and Mitch picking the order, which we haven't seen in a while on the show.
Right.
And usually that's such an essential thing. I feel like they're showing us this time to fill time, but I was shocked that they put Anissa and Rihanna second. Like, do they really think that Anissa and Rihanna are a bigger threat than Jenna and Brianna? Or was that just like, it doesn't matter?
I think it was probably just like, we're just putting Kara first and then we don't care who we put second. But I what I thought was really funny, like, he got everyone's name right. And then he for third, he's like, we'll put Jenna and the other one. Like, he blanked on Brianna's name.
Was that Corey or Mitch? I would have been tweeting Corey. About it if it was Mitch.
No, yeah, it was Corey. It was Corey. He's like, oh, we'll put Jenna and the other one.
But I'm sorry, just circling back. I totally agree that there was a great move by Kara. And it was almost like a rookie move by Anissa to get upset by it. But in a way, I think they just were trying to foreshadow this whole ridiculous fight.
Yeah. Like, it's just worth a shot for Kara. Like, I'll probably, like, I'll go slow and steady. Like, who knows? Maybe someone actually takes it to heart and helps you out. Like, it's worth a shot.
By Anissa's logic, like, should Corey not have put Kara and Jamie first? Like, it's just, you know, it's like they take their shot, so you take yours.
Yeah, exactly.
I will say, and this is one of the very few things I'll say in Anissa's defense this episode, because I thought she had a terrible episode. She really killed it on the cars. Like, I was really proud of her. I thought she was a great leader. Rihanna was clearly, I would say, the most terrified of the people there.
Oh, absolutely.
And, like, she plowed through it. She kept her cool with her, especially when she was on edge. And she, like, got her through it. I thought she did a great job.
She did. What did you make of Jenna and Brianna holding hands?
Okay, so
that was a weird move.
Daniel Shelley had the same question. Thoughts on Kara and Jamie's action movie jumps from car to car versus Jenna and Brianna's casual hand-in-hand leisurely stroll across the cars?
It just doesn't seem like logistically it would work. Like, I think when you're jumping car to car, you want to have both hands so when you land on the car, you can, like, secure yourself, not having to hold on to someone.
I think I'm becoming you because I'm thinking of you when I write this. I literally wrote the Wonder Twins over here going two at a time. This should not work. Like, it shouldn't have worked.
It shouldn't. No.
That's almost why I think, like, it looked more exciting than it was. Like, if the two of them are able to walk hand in hand, car to car, and almost win, like, there's a problem with the challenge. The challenge is flawed.
And it's kind of, it's in that sense, because each car is going 40, I think he said each car is going 40 miles an hour. It's almost like each car is not moving. Like, if each car is going the same speed, isn't it kind of like they're all just going on the same pace? So it's almost like there's no, like, timing, right? Is my physics correct?
Brian, the science guy. I
feel like if one car was going like 60 and the other one was 30, you would have to, like, time it right to correctly jump. If they're all going 40, like, if they're all just basically not moving.
They should have done George Costanza Frogger style. And yeah. Shipman dodged the cars going 60 miles an hour. Then we have a exactly. show.
With no harness either. Like, if you just get hit, you die. Move on.
I mean,
that's why you sign the insurance papers.
You know, I thought they were doing great. The biggest shocking thing here was that Jenna is only 22 years old. Did we know this?
I didn't know that. I thought she was older than that. I thought she was 22 when she was on The Real World.
We suck.
That's crazy. I thought that too. Like, holy shit, she's only 22?
Brian, tell everyone how old you are.
I'm about soon to be 26.
You're so old.
I'm in the second half of my 20s, and I'm podcasting about the challenge. Like,
hey, we have many listeners older than you, and we love and value you.
Oh, they're great. I'm going to be one of them. I'll be watching the show if it's still on in 15 years.
Or they're going to say you're going to listen to our podcast. I'll be one of those listeners.
Yeah.
Okay, so
I'll still be trying to crash for unions with like my kid.
I'm starting to get defensive of Mitch as I was last week. And when Mitch and Corey go, they like replay Mitch as they go to commercial, like doing this like back leg kick. I feel like they just replayed that one kick like five times, make it look like they caught a Mitch in a net. And I was just so upset because I was like, he just did one kick.
Right. Don't make fun of it. It's like almost like now where like a family making fun of a family member is like, you can make fun of them, but no one else can.
I have not made fun of Mitch in weeks.
You just started a movement.
Mitch is bae. Anyway. So, Anais and Rihanna lose.
They do. And Corey and Mitch win. Corey's been waiting a long time to reach a final. A long time. A whole, like, 4 weeks. So,
and we've already established last week that he's never seen the challenge because he didn't tell Bananas to earn his stripes. So, he's literally been waiting since they flew him to Turkey.
Right. Once he got the call to do the challenge, he was like, oh, cool. Oh, I can't wait to do a final. And he got it.
One thing I like is that TJ makes them pick right now who's going to, well, not right now, right then, who's going in, because I don't think they could have stretched out another 5 minutes of deliberation.
Right. Well, I assume their game plans, they were hoping it would produce a similar thing as the Sarah vote from last year in the Final Four, but there was just no real drama with this vote. Like, it was clearly just going to be Kara, which is also probably why they did it. They're like, this, what are we deliberating about? It's going to be Kara, so let's just do it now.
Yeah, exactly. There'd be nothing to show. Is there any justification we can make to say if they put Jenna and Brianna in, at least maybe Jenna and Brianna would get beaten? Like, the odds of Anais and Rihanna beating Jenna and Brianna are higher, and Jenna and Brianna are a bigger threat than Anais and Rihanna?
No. The only move is voting in Kara there.
Yeah, I agree. I think you take the like 0.01% chance that they're going to beat Kara.
Yeah.
And that's it.
I mean, unless for some reason they really thought Jenna and Brianna are the bigger threat, then sure. But I don't see it.
And it doesn't support, that's not supported based on if their order meant anything. So. Right.
Exactly.
Anissa says a line here, this is the smartest game I've ever played. Do you agree with that?
I was trying to think about that because I was really thinking about how many times. Because she was on a losing team, right? She was on blue team, not Rihanna. So Anissa, she was the one who was on blue team. So she was always the one who would have been up for elimination. I was trying to like replay in my head how many girl votes like there were that she got herself out of. I can't really remember that many that like Anissa's was thought of, and I guess that's good on her. But I don't know if it was like that great. Like, what? I don't know.
I think it's hard because Anais and Rihanna were not up for consideration a lot of the time because they were not seen as like, I don't think they were seen as like a major threat or a major detriment to their team. Like, I think there was always like there were bigger fish to fry either in getting, like, nobody was ever going for a weak team. Like, no one was ever going to vote. Well, now I'm trying to think. If you vote Anais in, you get Rihanna off of your team.
Yeah, but that's like, that was the thing. Like, there was almost a perfect setup that Anissa's team would keep losing because Anissa has like the veteran status, so that got her past the first like a few votes, and then she was able to maybe get her past a couple votes. But I feel like if Red ever lost, Rihanna would have been a target because she was so weak, so Red probably would have voted her in. So it was almost just Red, just the format would have worked out perfectly.
Yeah, well, the other thing is, I think Anissa's biggest strength, and this is when we talked about earlier, is just like, and by earlier, I mean 5 podcasts ago, or earlier this evening, is her ability to get to really leverage and make the right move at the right time, playing the rookies and the veterans. Like, I think she made the right move to stay with Bananas when she did. I think she made a great move, unintentionally perhaps, by kind of getting into bed with Corey, so to speak. And I just think she did a great job, like, playing dumb with him in that moment when he was getting angry at her, to the point where they can still have sort of a working relationship now. I think she played a great social game. And if we're only comparing her to her own past performance, I would say this was one of Anissa's best games.
That's the thing. Like, she played a good game, and, like, maybe it is one of her best games, but I guess the problem is, if this is one of her best games, it wasn't, like, that great of a game, that it's that, like, great of an accomplishment.
The other thing is, if Anissa didn't lose today, if Anissa and Rihanna didn't lose today, or I'm very much in the present, if they didn't lose this challenge, they were not going in.
No. Yeah.
So at some point, like, you have to just be able to not lose. And unfortunately, like, no matter what kind of smart, you know, she said she played her smartest game. It doesn't matter how smart you play it. If you can't not lose, you got to go in.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
What else?
Let's hit the club in Germany.
Do they do that in Germany?
They probably do.
Was it called Pearl? I missed that.
I think it was called Pearl. I always like looking at names of the clubs they go to.
I was so distracted because the first image we get at the club is Mitch just like gyrating in full seal mode. And I was like, if I could only be technologically savvy enough to make a GIF of this. I'm sorry, GIF.
I say GIF.
You're wrong. I say GIF too, and I'm also wrong. Well, it happens.
Womp, womp, womp.
What do you make of this whole Corey Anissa fight here?
Corey Anissa or Cara Anissa?
Oh, I'm sorry. I wrote, damn it, I'm fired. Go ahead.
That's like I said, did I miss a fight? Like,
how about this? I'll be less specific. What do you think of this fight here?
Well, first of all, I fully get Cara wanting to get out of the club if it smelled like cigarette smoke that whole time. Like, I would probably want to get out of there too. It would be horrible. But then I don't understand Anissa flipping out on her. I don't really understand what even sparked it. I think it was just Cara saying wicked. And like that all of a sudden just like gave Anissa PTSD and she just like freaked the fuck out. She like couldn't take it anymore and she like exploded. So,
okay. Circling back really quick to the Corey thing, because that comes up later in the after show. Like, there were really two fights going on here, both with Anissa. And I kind of agree with Anissa in the first fight with Corey, just in terms of like Corey saying, or no, with Cara, I'm sorry. I keep saying that. God damn.
I was going to say, like, what fight? Yeah,
I'm sorry.
So it is Cara.
Corey and Anissa get in a fight later in the after show, but I mean Cara. I'm so sorry, everyone. I'm the worst. So Corey,
they both start with a C.
Corey is kind of bragging with Jenna. They're toasting, like, to the final. And then Corey's like, oh, Cara's just salty. Like, it's just a game. And I'm just like, remember when Anissa didn't vote with you and you, like, flipped the fuck out? But it's just a game, Corey. Like, that, I didn't like how hypocritical he was there. And Mitch, of course, just jumping on board. But I agree. I think Cara's frustrations were, this is not her first challenge. So I don't really think her problem was the cigarette smoke. Although I agree with you, I'd be out of there. I think she was understandably emotional that now her fate in the game is on the line here when she feels like she clawed her way and should be in the final.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, if I just got voted in and I was about to go in and be in a final, I wouldn't really want to go drinking with the person who voted me in. Like, even if it was like 100% the obvious slam dunk, like, I just wouldn't want to be hanging out with them. So I didn't have any problem with Cara wanting to just leave and just like be on her own and be hang with cuz.
So Anissa does not allow this. So they're on the bus, as you were saying. My interpretation of Anissa's lashing out is just what Anissa said about like, the most annoying person to me at the time is just going to get the tongue lashing because I think she just had reached her boiling point and Cara wasn't doing anything. Maybe she was just mildly annoying, as you've been annoyed with her for saying cuz.
Mm-hmm.
And Anissa's going off was just like totally, totally inappropriate. But I think a result of like the stress of the game and her own shit she had going on.
Yeah, I think so. And I mean, I wonder if there had to be probably at least a little lingering stuff even going into the season between her and Cara. Like, I think she's probably felt that Cara was fake for a little while now. I don't think you just pick that up like immediately.
So Haytham Al-Meshel said, I don't understand the hate for Kara in general from the cast. So could you speak more to that?
Here's the thing. I actually do find Kara to be, like, from the TV portrayal, a little fake. But I see it as fake as in trying to give the producers stuff that I think she wants them to hear. Like, I will go to my grave thinking the reason she just keeps calling him cuz is because she thinks that's what producers want to hear, because this is Bloodlines. They want to just stress that you're with your bloodline. You're with your bloodline. It's all, so it's personal family reunion and you're with your cousin. And that's why she calls him cuz. I bet in real life she doesn't call him cuz, but she's doing it here because it's on TV.
Yeah, I mean, you've said that before. I that's fine. I think here, like, Kara is just more someone people don't get. Like, this is, like, I think people think she's fake because she's just not someone you can easily understand. Like, she's got red hair one day, she's got beads in her hair one day, she's on the farm one day, she's CrossFit one day, she's in love with Abe one day, she's hooking up with Thomas the other. Like, I just think she's got a lot going on, and she's very, very different, and she's easy to attack. Like, she's very vulnerable. For some reason, she always becomes, not always, but she can very easily become the scapegoat for people's problems. And people do say, someone left this in the comments, but a lot of the cast members say that, like, what's good TV is, like, very, very annoying in life on the show. It's almost like Abby Maria. Like, we're, if for anyone who watches Survivor, like, we're watching it, it's like, Abby's hilarious, like, Abby's so, and, like, everyone who comes back is, like, PTSD, like, I can't handle her. So,
right.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't surprise me that people lash out at Kara. She strikes me as very vulnerable, and she's kind of confusing. So, but I think Anissa's hatred here, anger here, was very misplaced.
And maybe part of it is, like, she lives in Montana. She doesn't, I mean, I don't know, maybe she doesn't do, like, the whole appearance New York LA thing, so maybe she doesn't even get to, like, build outside relationships with a lot of people besides maybe Abram and Laurel. So maybe there's that too. I don't know.
We get the best thing out of this fight, which is, you know it,
Mitch passed
out. And one thing I thought was hilarious, Judah Ray Mario says, is his reaction representative of the audience?
I mean, I was locked into this fight. This was great.
I mean, the reality is, and we got a lot, we had so many testimonials of people from areas where there are accents. I will offer my own testimonial because it's about me. I'm just kidding. I'll offer my own testimonial. I don't feel like I have a New Jersey accent. When I went to school in the Midwest, like, any hint of an accent I had went away. When I get together with people from my high school, oh my God, it's just like Jersey, 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 Jersey. So I don't know what your experience is, but I didn't feel like if Kara's drinking or Kara's around her cousin and she develops a Boston accent, that that's unusual at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I don't think I have an accent, but again, when, like you said, if I'm with someone from, like, not the New York area, and they, I, some words I say, they're like, oh wow, that's, the Long Island is really coming out right now, and I just don't hear it. But I think everyone has that. Like, everyone has just little idiosyncrasies about how they say words, and then it'll come out, like, when you're drunk or you're mad or you're upset or whatever, or just when you're not, like, thinking clearly, you're at, like, at your core, it just, like, kind of comes out. So I mean, why would Kara fake having a Boston accent? Like, she's from, like, that area, so she didn't, like, make that up.
It makes no sense. And the thing is that bothers me is, like, Anissa now, and we'll get to her tweets, is, like, being like, this was stupid. But she's trying to, like, justify it in the confessionals. And she's like, she came with the low blows. Or I'm sorry, she says this to Corey. Like, she came with the low blows. And it's like, you literally said before you said something, I can go lower, and then said a low blow. So right. You're only mad at yourself, girl.
And even, like, Anissa's being fake in and of itself, because at one moment she's saying, oh, she, like, Kara's fake, like, this is, like, what she does. And then the next minute she's like, oh, Kara, I'm so sorry for everything. And then she comes on the after show, oh, I still think she's fake. So, I mean, isn't that fake?
All of these women have many layers, Brian. we got a question from Pia Virolainen. Anissa's Oscar-winning tears were underscored with the German national anthem. I'm pretty sure this is the greatest music choice in the history of the show, possibly reality TV in general. Thoughts?
Is it, wait a minute, was that seriously the German national anthem they were playing in the background?
You know, I read this question before I watched the episode, and it does sound like very, I don't have a reason to know, and I don't know the German national anthem, but it did sound, I mean, I very much like that.
I had no idea what it was. I just thought it was like an epic string quartet that was just playing in the background to like really underscore the sadness of the moment. I can't believe they actually played the German national anthem. There's no way. Like, if you're German, you hear your national anthem being played over like Anissa crying over calling someone else fake. Like, could you imagine if, like, a German reality show that started playing the U.S. national anthem over, like, some trashy reality person crying on that show? I feel like that could start, like, an international incident.
I'm not that attached to the national anthem. I think it was pretty funny, just if that was, or just the music they played in general. I love when production, like, makes fun of the contestants with the music. Like, we see that a lot in reality TV, if you notice the score going on, and it's pretty hilarious to see what production, like, actually thinks of the people based on that.
Mm-hmm. The Dodo has it.
We got a couple of people pointed out this amazing, amazing thing. While you were busy watching Mitch, Brian, other people were watching someone else. Megchem and SVP both on Twitter contacted us and said, "Forget Mitch Watch. Did Rihanna have an accident when she was getting off the bus?"
I did see that. I did. It was. I'm trying to block it from my memory, though.
Here's what I'm going to propose.
Whoa, hey now.
Sweat.
I mean, that has to be, right? It has to be.
There's no way that Rihanna wouldn't have, like, made fun of herself if she had consciously peed herself. Like, I just feel like she had what some other people might call swamp ass. And gray is not a good color for sweat, everyone. And Rihanna paid the piper on that one.
I don't know. Maybe she's just Miles Davis undercover. Who knows?
Speaking of sweat, takes us right to the pit.
Well done.
Thank you.
I didn't catch the name of this elimination. I just assume it's the ripping the bar out of the other person's hands, because that's always just what I call it. But it's just a challenge staple, and it's great.
Yeah, it's just like the classic one.
Yeah, let's call it the classic one.
Yeah, so I just like TJ's intro to this again, where he's just basically like, "Anissa, you're here because you suck." and tonight is an all-girls elimination round. Explain this to me.
I don't know their rules. I really think they're just so completely making this up as they go along. At some point, just give them credit. But like, you know what? They had no game plan for this season. And they're just, like, not even pretending anymore. They're like, we have no idea what's going to happen week to week.
What would have happened if, what would have been the situation if, like, Jamie and Kara won and Anissa and Rihanna lost and they put in Corey and Mitch? Like, I could see that happening.
Mm-hmm. Easily. They might not have done this elimination. They probably have had to do a different one. There's no way they would have had, like, Kara go up against Anissa. I mean, Corey go up against Anissa.
I mean, they clearly had to have, like, a low-budget one done. Because, like, the pit was just, like, some sand. Like, they broke open a sandbox in Germany and, like, spilled some out. But it's, like, I understand, like, all you have to do is travel with the bar. Great. But why not just do the co-ed elimination regardless if you have one ready?
I don't know. I mean, I did like this elimination, so I didn't have a problem with them doing it this way. But because I do like the last elimination being a physical one, and it's tough to do like a real physical elimination when you're going guy against girl. I feel like that's like not a good smart dynamic.
I mean, but we see on like Survivor, for example, we see on Big Brother, like we see all these shows that do physical-esque, not necessarily like person-on-person combat, but like, who can, I wouldn't have even minded if the four of them had like a weight distributed thing they had to hold. And it was just like endurance. Like, who wants it more? Who can hold their arms holding up this proportion weight the longest? Right. And the last person from the last bloodline, like pair to drop out, wins.
No, I mean, that's fair. And it's like, you can make an argument for anything, because clearly this wasn't planned. It wasn't like that a huge contraption that they were like set. And it's like, all right, this is what we're doing no matter what. Like, they could have done anything for this elimination.
Kristen Kinnar wants to know, do you think this pit challenge was Anissa's absolute best chance at beating Kara?
I mean, I think you probably couldn't script a better one for her. I mean, as I showed in the flashback, she dominated this one earlier, much earlier in her challenge career. So I think, I mean, this is probably the one she was, hoping for, right?
Floyd Brian Casson said that in response to this, that was probably the door slammer from earlier this season would have given her a better chance. But in general, I mean, something that was just like where your weight is an advantage and just your size is an advantage favors Anissa. I mean, this was like the best she could have hoped for in terms of like what it could have been.
Exactly. Exactly.
So what happened?
I just think Kara is just a beast. Like, that's the thing. Like, Kara is just super, super strong and is probably stronger than a lot of the guys that have been on this show. So it's not as like, I know people were like, everyone the show was talking about, and even I saw people on Twitter that were surprised that Anissa lost. I thought Kara was easily going to win. Kara is just a big time competitor.
So Andrew Kirk says, are you guys surprised Kara beat Anissa 2-0 back on the first X's in the similar Kara beat Anissa 2-0 back in the first X's in the similar type of elimination? She got destroyed by Emily.
I mean, I think Emily's maybe one of the best female competitors out there, and I think Kara is just a lot better than she was back then. So, I think Kara is like might be the best, because if Laurel or Emily's not on the show, I think she's the best female competitor there is right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's no surprise. I think this wasn't like, oh my god, this was really Kara's like coming out season. But I think this one's a lot more, the pit in general is a lot more mental than it's given credit for. I think Anissa was like very, very drained, or at least that's what the edit wanted to show. And I also don't, she has the size, she has the weight, and like she has the will potentially, but I don't think she knows how to leverage that weight, or like she has the discipline and the focus that somebody who's been training has. So I think Kara has her beat mentally in terms of focus and discipline. And so she was able to stay focused. I mean, that's what happened, is Anissa just broke focus, took her hand off to adjust, and Kara capitalized. Like, I think Anissa really could have beaten her, but I think the fact that Kara is a disciplined person won out here. And then I think it's really hard when it's like a 2 out of 3 thing to not have a momentum built. And I think I think Anissa basically was just kind of done after she didn't win the first one.
Yeah, that seems to. It's not very common that you come back from losing losing the round one of a 2 or 3 in the challenge. I mean, Kara's just as I said, Kara just trains for this like year round. She's almost like bananas in that way, where this is now like her job. So she trains for this all the time to prepare for this exact moment.
And it's also like her real jobs are athletic anyway. Like, and her hobbies are CrossFit, and her jobs are with horses.
When Abram lets her.
Okay. So we have a lot of more questions on Anissa as she heads out here, but I want to know what you think would have happened in every other situation. So like Jenna versus Anissa in this.
That's actually a really good matchup. I think Jenna would win. I'm not going to doubt Jenna anymore. She's very good.
She has noodly arms.
I thought she said that Thomas has noodle, or Steven has noodle.
But then she
arms.
Later says, like, I have noodly arms. I think she also does a self-deprecating bit.
I don't know. I feel like Jenna just likes keeping her off her own trail. Like, she always does that stuff, but she's very good. I'm not downing her anymore.
What about Jenna versus Kara?
Kara.
And it.
That time, yes, I am downing her.
If it was Corey versus Mitch and Anissa and Rihanna, what? You think it would have been just a totally different challenge that they had?
There's no way this would have been the challenge if it was Corey and Mitch versus Anissa and Rihanna.
I just don't understand why they would have two challenges set up. Like, unless they thought a co-ed one was so unlikely and this was so much better. Mm-hmm. But I don't even think a co-ed one would have been so unlikely. Like, I think it was very possible that Jamie and Kara win, one of the girls loses, and they send in the guys. Do you think, we got a question about this, I didn't pull it, I'm sorry. But do you think they would have, if the girls lost and Anissa and Rihanna lost and Jamie and Kara won, do you think Jenna and Brianna would have automatically had to go in? Like, do you think they would have said today was a girls' elimination day, or if Corey and Mitch lost, today's a guys' elimination day?
No, I think they would have. I think there still would have been the vote. Yeah, I don't think they would have declared that they're automatically in. No.
Yeah, I agree. I think that would have been bullshit. But it's just confusing. Like, it's just confusing what happened here.
The whole season, like, when you, like, really look back on this season, just how much of a shit show the rules were, it's wild stuff.
Yeah, all right. So we have some questions from Anissa, about Anissa. Anissa asked us a question. Corey Contreras says, I'll start out by saying that I'm as big of a fan, big of an Anissa fan as there is. Anissa lost the kind of challenge she's basically known for and what she's best at. Did last night's elimination mean the end of Anissa as a challenge competitor?
I mean, I don't think she's a great challenge competitor right now. I mean, again, I think she lost to Kara. Like, let's also keep that in perspective. I think Kara is, as TJ would say, the cream, like, literally, though, the cream of the crop. So, I mean, I won't knock her too much, but I mean, I don't think Anissa's, like, that great right now anyway.
Yeah, I think Anissa leaves here in the same or even a slightly better standing than she came in at.
That's fair.
And I think, like, when you're, like, not expected to beat the person, and there was also, like, a big, like, hoopla made, and we'll get to that later, about, like, what Kara said about losing to her, and, like, it almost, like, they built her up to be, like, this great legend that she's really not, in terms of challenges. So I don't know that this is, like, the end for her. But at the same time, like, it almost did feel like her swan song in a way. Like, they built her up so much. TJ gave her the, like, take care, not them sure we'll see you again, which I would love to know if that ever means anything.
I don't think so. I like to pretend it does, but it really doesn't.
All right. So I want to know here, we got two competing opinions from listeners, and I want to know which side you're on.
Right.
So Andrea Feldman said, am I the only one surprised to hear myself say I'd be excited to see Anissa back on future seasons? Or I'm sorry, on a future season. And Kari Dahlia said, I would like to nominate that the following things be retired in 2016.
Oh boy.
The term lit, establishments without public restrooms, Donald Trump's privilege to tweet, and Anissa. Sorry, really quick. All political opinions are their own. Not that I support Trump, but I don't want to get involved. Okay, back to the question. She is aggressively mediocre at everything she does.
That's a great phrase.
She holds her own at challenges, but she can't win them. I wish I could read right now. She starts drama, but it's lackluster because it's over an accent. She's done. She's spent. Send her the challenge versions of the AARP card, whatever that may be. Do you agree or disagree? So, Anissa, back or she done?
In my opinion, or like, do I want her back or is she coming back?
We have time.
I think she will come back, but I don't need to see her back.
Why?
I just think her act is done. I just think, you know, she's been on this so many times. And at this, if you're on the show so many times, if you're not a threat to win, I don't need to see you anymore.
That's interesting. I think we've always gotten different things from the challenge. I like a good mix, right? Like, if it was all like Derek, Darrell, Bananas, like Evelyn, Emily, like, I'd love to see all of these people back in some sort of arrangement. But if it was just all people, and it started to go there at one point. Like, I remember when Derek, like, first declared that he, like, wasn't going to party anymore for the challenge. Do you remember what? Mm-hmm. I don't remember what challenge that was, but I vividly remember, like, whoa, this is a shift. I don't want to see purely physical people, and that's it, and that's all they bring to the table, who are, like, married, who are not going to hook up, who are not going to fight, and they're just here to compete. They're going to work out in the morning. They're going to go to bed early.
No, I don't want to see that either.
So I don't think that you could possibly build a season with everyone who's a threat to win and still get anything of that nature.
That's fine. But my thing is, if you're not a threat to win, then I want you to be someone like fresh and new that I don't know a lot about. So I think we can get stuff from Anissa from someone that we haven't really seen that much that may not
like
win.
Like who? I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just like...
Like, I don't know, like, maybe, like, even, like, maybe, like, even, like, someone like Nicole. Like, I know they're very different, but, like, so, like, Nicole we haven't really seen before, but I don't think Nicole's really ever going to win a challenge. But I'd rather her on a season than Anissa to provide interesting, witty, funny stuff.
I just think if you want to keep the challenge to be, like, where people keep coming back and you still see familiar faces and it's a mix of new and old, that you're, like, Anissa and Nicole are not filling the same spot. And, like... I'm also thinking, like, by that measure, like, maybe Nani's done. Maybe Camilla's done. Like, it depends threat to quote unquote threat to win is really dependent on who else is cast. But I totally see your point. Like, we have more questions about whether or not Anissa can win, but I just think like this season without Anissa would have been very, very weak in terms of entertainment value. And
yeah, I mean, she was like top three or four of at least providing entertainment stuff for sure.
So I want to see her back, but I'm not feeling like she's irreplaceable. Like, I don't know who yet could fill that kind of role, but if someone were to emerge, then I'm not married to Anissa. I don't feel like I need to see her every season. But as far as I'm concerned, I'd like her to come back. And I definitely don't think this challenge would be the last time she's invited back based on the fact that they were like really dependent on her and like two other people.
Right.
Okay. So Eric Franklin says, do you guys think Anissa will return to the challenge? And will she be given the Sarah Cara Maria edit? Her repeating how it's her 12th challenge with no win, and she will actually be able to win a future challenge.
I mean, I think she'll only get that edit if she wins the challenge. Like, I think Sarah got that edit because she won, and I think Cara is getting that edit because I think she's going to win. I don't think we'll get that edit from Anissa because I don't think she will ever win.
Okay, I agree. I don't think a win is in Anissa's cards. But we have a listener who wants to know why. So Alex Fischler says, hey, Allie and Brian. Hey, Alex. Longtime listener, first time commenter. Question about Anissa. Of her 11 challenge appearances, she has made the final and lost or made it to the final elimination round 5 times. Gauntlet 2, Duel, Inferno 3, Duel 2, and now Bloodlines. She has also been in the most elimination rounds for a female, 15, tied with Cara Maria, and has a very good win-loss record of 9 wins and 6 losses, which someone fact-checked to be 8-7, but I was not the fact-checker.
Tomato, tomato.
So it would appear that she has a good social and physical game, but what do you think is keeping her from finally winning a challenge? Been watching Anissa since Battle of the Sexes in 2003, and I'm ready for an Anissa win. So we don't think she's going to win. Why not?
I think it's just the straight how she would do in a final. I don't think her endurance would be able to hold up. I know she did pretty well in that pre-final, but I think that was more the aberration.
I think she did well in that final, but I don't know if that's because like Rihanna took so long in lag time that she had time to like chill. You know, we don't know with the editing, but I mean, she did beat Corey, as she reminds us in the after show. And it's tough to tell if this season was like, wow, like Anissa's put in work and she's doing much better, or if it was just like the competition. And it's also tough because she like chose not to compete in a couple of challenges. And if this wasn't the format it was, would she have competed or would she have not competed and gone home? Like, this challenge is like, I'm almost willing to like throw this challenge out in terms of like considering people's ability, because it was a lot of good people got eliminated really soon. The format led people to be able to throw challenges or just not participate with no consequence. So I don't know. I don't know. I agree with you. I just think Anissa is a smoker. Anissa is not a workouter. She never has been. It's almost like if you're only going to make it to the final twice and you're not going to win in 11 tries, like, are you really in your prime now? Like, I think she'd really have to like work out for a full year and come back. And I just don't think she's ever going to do that.
I mean, I think the only way she'll ever win is if they do a straight team challenge and she's like the third or fourth piece on like the team that goes to the end, and then like that team just wins.
I do think I agree. I don't think that she's like such a liability as she used to be anymore. But I'm basing that off of this challenge. So I just lied to everyone. I don't know. It's tough. It's tough. I do think she'll be back.
I definitely think she'll be back.
I also don't know if like, with this challenge, like maybe being the dominant team member and the like vet with experience who's looked up to like motivated her to do better. Like maybe having Rihanna dependent on her motivated her. I'm not sure. It seemed to be that way.
Maybe. And maybe she'll actually adopt to the new challenge world.
Sorry?
Of working out. Of working out.
Like take her on as her child. It's like adopt.
No. Please, no.
So one thing I thought was interesting, when Cara says Jamie went against CT, which was technically Mike, but like he's still strong. She won against Anissa, and they both won against Johnny. It did remind me, like, wow, like, Carr and Jamie are really the only team, even this whole season, but left, who, like, really went up against tough competition and lived to tell the tale.
Yeah, I kind of forgot when they said, like, oh, this is the third straight time you're in the elimination. I kind of forgot I thought this was only the second straight time. For some reason, I thought the elimination against Mike was, like, much earlier in the season. I don't know. My perception of time has just been, like, warped. I didn't realize that that was so recent.
I feel like the Jenna thing felt like more in a row than this did. And we gave Jenna so much credit. But like this, I mean, it's almost like the expectation thing. It's like, we don't feel like Cara and Jamie need us to be like, oh, they were so good.
Right. I mean, he went up against CT, but I mean, he still got like annihilated by CT.
Yeah, no, he did not win against CT. Let's be clear. Yeah.
And also to be more clear, like he didn't even have to win because Mike threw it. So
allegedly.
Allegedly.
So this moment we get between Carr and Anissa, where Carr's like, oh, it was an honor to go against you. You're a strong bitch. Like, you know, this was your thing. I love your cousin. I propose that all of this was so that Kara did not have to get cast on a rival season with Anissa.
Yeah, she has to be freaking out that that's going to be her new partner.
Let's make sure we squash this before anyone casts next season.
I wonder if Kara's on the next season, she like really goes out of her way to like get into a fight with someone else. It's like, no, this is my real rival.
In preparation for Rivals 4?
Yeah.
Christopher 4. Duarte asks the reverse of my thought, which is, do you think Anissa started and escalated her fight with Kara to be paired with a strong female partner for future rival season?
I mean, it would be great strategy by her if that was the case. I don't think so. I think she was just belligerently drunk and just something set her off and she went off. But I mean, kudos to her if she comes out and says it. I would love for someone just to come out and say it.
And then they don't get cast though. Like they have to believe
it. No, but like after they get cast, like be like on Twitter, be like, ah, yeah, remember that fight I had two seasons ago? This was all prep for this.
So Anissa tweeted like a lot of stuff about this. And let me get to it. Okay. So Anissa, first she Instagrammed, or this may not be in the right order, but she Instagrammed a picture of her and Rihanna and said, that's my heart right there, going into a stressful situation like the challenge without ever spending time with my beautiful and amazing cousin, Rihanna Valentine, made it very hard for us. We lack the dynamic that other teams had, but that hasn't stopped us from loving one another. We have grown by leaps and bounds. All I can say is that I was in a really shitty place emotionally on this show, and that I'm sorry to you, Rihanna, for not being the best person to you. You live and you learn. I'm like Mitch right now asleep. Life is the best teacher. There's nothing I wouldn't do for you. I thank God for you and the challenge, although I allowed it to get the best of me, for allowing us to spend time together. Hashtag bloodlines. Hashtag only God can judge me. Hashtag live and learn.
This was... So how many tweets was this?
That was an Instagram.
Ah.
So then we moved to Twitter. And Tori Fiorenza, you might recall from the challenge, married to Brad, also from the challenge. She wrote, you're right. I shouldn't watch a TV show and tweet about it or my husband might cheat on me. Hashtag, wait, what? Why did she say that? All right. I'm going to look more into this and get back on this. But... I'm sorry. The reason I pulled it is because Anissa said, at Tori, thanks. I had a really rough year and a lot of loss. My emotions were definitely misguided and alcohol only aided it. And, oh, because Tori said your ownership last night. Best part about these shows is the growth we experience as people. Hope you are well. So I'll find out more about someone suggesting that that Brad's going to cheat on her. But Anissa also tweeted, I was vulnerable, unhappy, and chose to add alcohol to the mix. It had nothing to do with anyone else, though it hurts to watch. I needed to go through it in order to see it, accept and try and understand where all my issues were coming from. I'm in a better place now. So
that's good.
She's not admitting to conspiring to get on Rivals 4.
Boo. She lost points.
But she had she's going through a lot of shit. And, you know, I feel that.
We all have shit, absolutely.
Speak more to that. Tell me more.
You need to make that a drop, right?
So the Mitch watch this week was actually featured Kara and Rihanna on the plane. Did you see this?
This was like the commercial scene?
Yeah, the Mitch watch.
Yeah.
I actually missed it the first time, and then I went back to see Rihanna peeing and caught this because I fast-forwarded through it. Eric J. Williams has a question about the Mitch watch in general. Mitch watch being the small little clip in between the commercials. Right. When did almost all reality shows start doing the stupid 30-second clip, Ali's beloved Mitch watch? Is this the first time you've ever watched them? I know you discussed it on last week's show, but you guys got me hooked and I want to hear more.
Tell me more. I only know it from an MTV thing. I don't, like, Survivor doesn't do this, right? I don't think so.
So Bravo does it. So your mom has not been educating you. Plainview Sue.
She has not.
I mean, it's like public school.
There's no chance he's listening to this.
Public school has clearly failed your son. So my understanding, Bravo does it on almost all their shows. My understanding, and it's pretty annoying. I feel like they've also done it on Project Runway, but am I making that up? My understanding is that they do it. It's like why they've cast, and maybe I'm wrong, but it's like one time I remember there was like a Modern Family, like the cast of Modern Family was in a commercial and they aired it during Modern Family so that when you're going through on your DVR, you'll stop because you'll see like the familiar faces of the show you're watching.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh shit, okay, well, whatever, I might as well not fast forward. So it's like to entice you to watch the commercials, they like put in a little smidge. And maybe they charge more for the commercials after that. Like, I don't know how things work. You know.
I don't know.
But you're a cord cutter, so.
I'm a cord cutter?
Isn't your job in, like, cord cutting sports?
Not really.
Where do you work?
This will be an off-podcast conversation. No, I don't deal with advertisement stuff.
All right. I'm right about this, guys. Don't worry. More on this later.
I don't know advertising prices. I wish I did. It's fascinating stuff.
Moving on to the final here. It's pretty much we have all the rookies in Kara, Pop and Vuv, and which is the type of champagne they're drinking. My friend and I joke about Vuv, and I just like loved that that was on there.
And it worked out that way that it was two guy team, two girl team, and a guy girl team.
Yeah, that's actually true. I was focused more on like the rookie aspect, but you're right that whoever asked us that last week is a soothsayer. Or a spoiler reader. Edward Mara says, are there any other desirable options for a winner besides Kara and Jamie?
I think it'd be really cool to see Jenna win. I'm almost rooting for that at this point.
If Kara wins, is there an asterisk attached to her win?
Why?
Well, I'm just asking, yes or no.
Why would there be an asterisk?
I'm not suggesting there would be. It's a yes or no question.
No.
Why not?
Well, I go back to my original question. Why would
there be? Well, I think there's an argument to be made, potentially, that this was a really weak season. Look at the final. Look who she beat. Like, they're rookies.
Oh,
it's Jen and Brianna. It's Corey and Mitch. Like, I would tend to say no also, because I think the cast included Bananas, Leroy, Abe, Camilla, Nani, Corey. Like, I agree, but I just do think people may say that.
If you ask someone, let's say Kara wins, you ask someone 6 months from now, you say, like, name five other people on this season. I bet you they all just blank and you can't even think of anyone.
I don't know. I feel like this will go down as, like, one of, like, the weirdest finals. Like, one of the weirdest final matchups.
Name five teams on Bally X's, too.
No. It's not. Sorry, it's not that like I am this challenge historian or whatever, but I just
right. But I'm saying
I
like,
just feel like people may say like this was a weak pool, and I feel like more and more recently, people are saying, oh, this is a weak pool because the bottom line is they haven't replaced those powerhouse men or women that they've lost, and so it is kind of a weak pool. But the game is the game, so I don't think that it's an asterisk, but I do think these challenges have become. You know, if you're the athletic person, you're going to win the challenge. You're going to come in second place.
You play who's on your schedule. You play who's in your season. There's nothing you can do. You can't be like, oh, no, I want to kick Rihanna out. Let's bring in Laurel. Let's make it harder. No, you play who's on your schedule.
Feisty, Brian.
Yeah. I don't like asterisks for nothing that don't deserve an asterisk.
I'm not saying there should be. It's worth discussing.
I'm shooting it down.
Okay, so Stephen Lean says, is it bothering anyone else that the Bloodlines keep saying, I'm doing this for my cousin. I want to get to the final for him or her. These people realize that they get money too, right? None of them are playing for themselves.
It was this. We discussed this here, right? About the idea of the friend or foe ending for the season.
The bachelor pad ending.
Yeah. Because I mean, I've been thinking about that all week, and I it's never going to happen, but I really want that to happen.
That's actually really funny. I just think that they talk about like Kara saying cuz for the purpose of the season. I just feel like the Bloodlines like speaking positively or wanting to quote do it for their veteran partners, like, or their TV persona partners, like, mm-hmm. That's the kind of stuff that's getting edited in for the show. Like, I feel like that's what the producers are like juicing for.
Yeah, it would be cool if they set it up for all that, but there's no chance.
I think that brings me to the after show. Are you at the after show?
I'm at the after show.
Be there.
It was a good one, I thought. I thought it was pretty interesting.
Yeah, especially coming off like the last after show we had.
And what I've started to do now is I don't watch the after show like that night because I find myself too tired. I want to see like try to enjoy it. So I watched it today and it was good. I enjoyed it when I'm like more wide awake and not wanting to go
to
sleep.
I'm just picturing little Brian with like a little yawn. Oh, I'm too sleepy.
Yeah, exactly.
That's better than me. I fell asleep before the show even started this week. I tried.
And you're the youngster of the group.
Yeah, I'm so young. I'm so youthful. Where the fuck is Mitch? That's what I want to know. Why? I mean, there was no Brianna, there was no Mitch. They made the final.
No joke, I was half expecting Bananas to be there for like no reason at all.
And I guess I could be like, where's Jamie? But I'm more interested in where's Mitch?
I mean, they didn't have any of the blood, like, other than the Anissa Rihanna dynamic, they didn't have any of the bloodlines of the finals, right?
No, they didn't. So, like, where was Mitch, guys?
I don't know.
We can't watch him if he's not there.
He was probably just passed out in the back or something.
This, like, Mitch Rock thing, I have to say, is, like, I just feel like I have an inside joke with, like, you know, you and everyone in the world. Like, in my eyes, like, the entire world is in on an inside joke, and I love it.
I wish they did. This is a show they had, like, they would post, like, put tweets up, like, during the episode. Like, some shows do that. They, like, have an interactive Twitter on, like, the screen. And, like, if they did that and, like, a Mitch Watch tweet appeared on the screen, like, that would be, like, the ultimate.
They can't do it because I would literally die. Like, I would just die.
That was, like, three or four different ifs in one statement, but, like, it ended at a fun conclusion.
Okay, so Nick Sabetta says, switching gears a little bit from something fun, why was Anissa being so self-righteous on the after show about people training for the show, expecting they should make the finals? Maybe if she actually put in some work, she would have won a season or wouldn't be eliminated at the end so often.
The phrase I hate more than almost anything else in a reality TV show is deserving to make a final tribal council. No one deserves it. You make it or you don't. Like, why do you deserve it over someone else?
If anything, Kara does deserve it. Like, if we're going to put deserve on the table, and I agree with you 100% that it has no place. I feel like Jeremy said something like this in an interview, and Kara even said on the show, like, if you make it, you deserve it, and that's the end of it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think Kara said it also in the episode. Like, I think if everyone who made it here deserved to make it. That's how I feel about every show. If you make it to the end, or if you win, you deserve it because that's what happened.
But like morally, I hate it.
Right, and even more so, Kara's the one who actually like works hard, trains, and does all that. What does it mean? She deserves it because what? She hasn't had any other life besides this for like 10 years. Why does that make her deserve it?
When Anissa says like what happens in the house should determine who makes a final, it does. You would not have been in there if you didn't lose. Like there's a bit of balance in each way. It's like, physically, you can save yourself by winning, or you could save yourself by winning the pit. Socially, you could save yourself by not getting voted in. Like, there are advantages to being social in the house and being physical. And you can't just be like, people like me, so I should be in the final. The only reason they wanted you in the final is they weren't threatened by your cousin. Potentially you too, but 100% your cousin.
Yeah, that makes my skin crawl every time I hear that
phrase. It was trash. It was absolute garbage. Throw it out. But the Abe Kara thing, where, what are you feeling on this?
I didn't really expect that to like come back up this after show, because I mean, obviously he wasn't there, but like get a flashback of that and then get Kara breaking down, be like, I really want to be with him. I'm really curious when this after show was filmed. I want to know if this was filmed before or after the reunion.
Are you setting me up? Because you know I know the answer.
I don't know. I don't. Oh, do you know the answer?
Well, Liz Irwin wrote that she's like obsessed now with the timeline of when these are filmed. She asked if you have like a crack team who would be able to answer this. I don't know why I wouldn't have a crack team. No, I'm just kidding. She wanted to know more about the timing. But in Kara Maria tweeted that this was filmed the morning after the Tom and Abram after show. She said she got about 20 minutes of sleep that night. She was up with Abram, sad face. So it's not clear when the Tom and Abe show was filmed, but like, it seems to me that they filmed these in order of like who's going to be flown out like at the same time, mm-hmm. which explains why Johnny was on like three in a row and it made no sense for him to be there.
Yeah. Okay, so then this was filmed before the reunion.
And Abram tweeted back, because they can't stay off social media, "You may have said it to cameras after, but never to me, at Cara Maria MTV." Mm. And you know Cara's not going to not answer that.
Mm. I don't know if I ever asked, what is your take on doing these after shows to begin with? Are you pro, like, and more so because they have a reunion where they can discuss all this stuff, do you like that they kind of like cut the reunion out by its legs and do this?
Well, wait,
here?
Let me just tell you what Abe said, what Kara said back. Okay. I can't sit on the edge of my seat. She said, I told it to you 10,000 times that night. Also told you I was going to say it on camera next day to make amends. You don't listen. So basically that was like a planted line for Abe's benefit. Anyway, the only, yeah, it is weird because it doesn't cover, it does like cut out the need for the reunion, so to speak, but we never get to everything we want to get to during the reunion. So what I won't like is if the reunion like really in depth covers like the Tom and Abe thing, which it will, right. Like, or like, you know, I feel like they're going to hit the same beats that they hit in the after shows. What I do like is the reunion does film after these. So like, I feel like Kara and Abe's situation was markedly different during the reunion than it was when she said that she was still in love with him and wanted to be with him. So I still think there's room for things to change since these after shows. I don't feel like there's enough going on the challenge to warrant another half hour of talking about it. I feel like I didn't need any more when it was just the reunion. What do you think?
I only like the after shows in the early part of the season. After like the fourth or fifth episode, I'd rather save all that stuff for the reunion. Because like, I feel like they're going to talk about this Anissa Rihanna stuff like next week or 2 weeks ago, and it's going to be like, what the hell? We just heard this. Like, I don't need to hear this anymore. So I don't like when they do it too late in the season.
I think that's fair. One thing that maybe we'll get to more in the reunion, Ashley Bedazzlewitz wants to know, what in the world was Anissa referring to on the after show about Corey and Jenna? I must know.
I don't know. I remember hearing like I went back and like listened to what she said. I don't know if it was really about Jenna. I feel like it was just something about Corey, and she just told Jenna, so Jenna knows what it is. But I don't know if it was really about Jenna.
I agree. I thought my interpretation when I watched the show was just like she turned to the closest person to her and was like, "I'll blow his shit up." But I feel like Zuri's not asking if she doesn't know. Like, I think that MTV knows everything. Zuri was purposely asking that question. Corey and Jenna got weird about it. And Anissa wasn't like, "Oh, it wasn't about Jenna, but like, I'm not going to blow it up." Like, Anissa was like, "I know."
Like, I don't see Jenna, at this point, weren't Jenna and Zach still together? Even like in like the real world time, weren't they still together? So I don't see Jenna like cheating on Zach for Corey at any point during like the season. So like, I don't know. I don't see that as the secret.
I don't think it was something that happened at, I don't think you can do anything that happens on the show that doesn't get exposed unless it's going to get exposed at the reunion. So the only thing I can think of is like they hooked up before the show, because like Anissa would have gotten pissed if Jenna and Corey hooked up like on the show after they hooked up.
Yeah.
So I agree. My interpretation was totally yours, which was like Jenna had nothing to do with it. She was just there. But I don't know why Zuri asked that if there's nothing to it that MTV doesn't already know.
Yeah.
The biggest headline here is that Corey and Anissa were still hooking up In Berlin?
That's crazy.
What the hell?
What the hell? What the hell? So do you think they hooked up between the Berlin and what was that, like episode 5 when like they had that whole blow up? Do you think anything happened between them?
I think it makes much more sense if they were just like hooking up on and off angrily and drunk the whole time.
Yeah. That came out of nowhere.
I have a
Not out of nowhere, but like very unexpected.
I have a question that you're going to enjoy.
Yay.
Eric J. Williams says, have you ever heard the rumors about Kenny, Evan, Wes, and others using PEDs, which I believe are performance-enhancing drugs, for the challenge? Mm-hmm. And do you think it might be true? There is this amazing interview with Frank by Juliet and Jacoby, the Right Reasons podcast, that Bunham... I never know how to pronounce this. It's one of the things that when I read it, I just like skim. How do you pronounce the production company?
Thank Gina you. Murray?
Made them take down after a day that dished all of the dirt on everything. I heard it once and stupidly deleted it, so I don't remember everything that was said, but it was gold. So one, had you heard this interview with Frank? And two, what's your take on performance-enhancing drugs in the challenge?
I did hear it. I do remember it. I definitely think people used PEDs. I mean, like you look at Wes from... Look at Wes 4 years ago, not 4 seasons ago, like 4 years ago. And now he's a completely different person. So I'll go to my grave thinking he did. Everyone else, sure, I fully believe it. I mean, there's a lot of interesting stuff on that podcast. It sucked that they got rid of it. Like he talks about like all drug use and stuff like that. That's probably why.
I think it was really good. Listening to this podcast right now, I'm going to want to say, Brian, be more specific.
He talked about that. They would always go to the woods to hook up because he felt that that was the easy way to hire from the cameras. They talked about the like types of drugs that they would sneak on to the show. Like nothing like not like hard drugs, but like pills and stuff like that. They would be going on. He talked about that they don't let them have dark liquor on the shows. Only clear liquor.
Why is that?
Because he felt because they got rid of it. I think he said after the CT incident because they feel like that makes people a lot more aggressive. Dark liquor makes people more aggressive drunk. Science. Not like, so they got rid of that. I can't remember anything else.
Well, that was insightful. Thank you.
Yeah. I do what I can.
Megan Com says, I don't know for sure, but I think it's a safe bet that last season you guys said you didn't want to see Jen on a season again. How dare you? That's from me.
How dare I?
That's from me, not from her. How dare you, Megan? Remind us of how wrong we were. Seeing how she's been pretty good this season, is there someone either from this season or a past season that you didn't think you wanted back, but maybe rethinking now?
Besides Jenna?
I mean, you decide if you want to just be a stick in the mud who says Jenna and moves on.
I've been thinking
I think she's
else.
Saying we were wrong. Now, is there anyone else we think we're wrong about?
I mean, I was wrong. I could be wrong the other way about Vince.
What?
Like, I thought Vince would be great on the show, and he's absolutely atrocious.
So, is there someone either from this season or a past that you didn't think you wanted back, but may rethinking now?
I was doing the bizarro version of the question because I couldn't think of anyone going the questions
you do, way. You do you. Do you want me to start?
Start so I can think about someone else.
So, the only thing I can think of here, because it is hard, I'm just giving you a hard time. Is, if anything, Jenna's performance bodes well for every bloodline on this season without exception. And it goes into, like, the Brian Cohen school of thought, which is, like, give them a second season and wait and see. So there are very few bloodlines that I would want to see back, but I'm going to try to be optimistic and give them a second season.
All right, here's another one, Thomas.
Why?
I would like Thomas back again.
What's the grossest like vomit sound I can make?
I think you got it. I think you nailed it.
I might actually throw up if I keep doing that.
Like I would be fine with Thomas coming back.
Okay. I could ask a follow up, but like why?
I mean, after his first season, I thought it was a complete dud. I thought he at least had some interesting parts. I thought he was decently funny too.
Is he not still a dud? Like I still think he's a complete dud. Like if Kara didn't massage him, like I don't think he would have anything to bring to the table. Like, yes, he was a part of like a counter, you know, attack against a counter alliance, counter strike against Bananas, which was interesting that they like formed a rookie alliance. But I like don't think he added any like value to that specifically. Like he was just like one of a group to me.
Right. I like them.
That's fair. There's, you know, different strokes.
For different folks.
I didn't expect you to say Thomas. That took me off guard. You know, you think you know a person.
Shattering your worldview.
I guess. I hope he comes back single. Do we know the status of his relationship?
He's not single?
Well, he was in a relationship on the show.
I think I knew that.
You definitely did. We definitely did.
They need to do this. This is what they need to do for the next season of the challenge. Only single people. Screw people in relationships.
Okay, do you know how much, like, the Tony thing was only enhanced by the fact that he had a pregnant girlfriend, Pickle.
But, like, Tony's, like, a rare enigma where he would do, like, most, like, normal functioning, even, like, challenge people wouldn't hook up with someone when they have a pregnant girl back home.
All right, Kara's not on, Tony's not on, Thomas is not on, Bananas is not on. I think I can just stop it. Bananas is not on. I think
just the biggest problem is all the good people I have are in relationships. I guess that's the problem.
All the good people. All the, Tony, Thomas, Bananas, yeah. And Kara.
Abram. Oh, my God. Who knows? Maybe not for long.
No, they're not together, I think, right now, based on their tweets.
I wouldn't put it past them if they're not back together in a year.
Oh, I'm not saying... I'm not. Look, I could barely look down a year in my life down the road. All right.
We need Jordan back. Jordan was great. He needs to quit acting. Come back. Him and Frank. Get out of the real world. Let's go. Come back to the challenge.
Molly Block has taken Soul Cycle with Frank. Do you know that?
All right. Well, she needs to put in work and get him to come back to the challenge.
I can't believe we didn't ask her about that when she was... Well, I guess it was a different show.
Ask him to give more detail about his podcast with Grantland.
Alex Panda Moran says... Better rookie season to get to the final. Corey and Mitch in Bloodlines or Leroy in Rivals 1?
I guess Leroy. Corey and Mitch finished pretty strong. But I think Leroy had a better full season game.
This is when he's with Mike, right?
Yeah.
I just always talk about an asterisk being put on there is like, and we've talked about this, I'm sure, in the 100 years we've been talking about this. You just can't be on Rivals with your best friend. Like, I'm sorry. I have a problem with that.
Well, that was just another in the line of just MTV's whackadaisical notion of when they get rid of people. Like, if ever there was a time to get rid of someone, it was someone on their first show when their partner got kicked off and they clearly don't have another rival. That's when you get rid of them. But they decide, let's just bring in Mike.
I just think, like, I can't declare that, like, a great... showing when you had, I mean, I guess it's not, it could be perceived as a disadvantage because Mike's like not that obviously physical, but I think that was an advantage of the relationship.
What and, a premiere that was. Oh, that might be like one of my favorite episodes of the entire series.
Calling it.
Yeah. Rivals was so good. Like that first rock, because that was like the actual rivals of people, and that was such a good season.
I had other stuff to say about this. So I'm going to leave it at that because you're just like radiating bliss right now.
Because I'm legit, like I thought about just like, because I'm like a really old, like lame person. I might be going to sleep after this. I may have to go dig up the premiere of Rivals and watch that before I go to sleep actually after we do this.
I'm loving your joy. It's unbridled enthusiasm and I'm genuinely loving it.
Adam Royer needs to come back on the show. like it's legitimately criminal that he's only had one episode of the challenge.
Should we get an X's with Nani going?
Oh my God.
Or is that too... I regret saying that, actually.
That would be so perfect. Adam Royer was fantastic. And he was on for like 30 minutes. He didn't even make the full episode.
We have so much more to talk about, but I kind of want to end it on such a high for you. And the thing is when I'm being sincere, I come off as insincere. And so I know all of this sounds like I'm mocking you, and I'm genuinely not. Like, I'm genuinely enjoying your pure joy.
He was great. The guy was in like a drug gang and he was on the real world. It was so amazing.
Oh, that was a good one. Remember when the real world was like entertaining and good?
Oh, Vegas.
Okay. So Mitchell Matchdinger on Twitter says, coincidence that all of the bloodlines are seemingly weaker than their alum partners, save for the guy-girl combos. Mm. And even then.
Right. It is kind of sad, like, not really one of the bloodlines really stepped up. I really thought at least physically someone that would step up, but they haven't.
I do think that there is something to be said for like feeling like you need to take the alum's lead. Like, mm-hmm. I could see myself in that situation being like, all right, I'm going to like know my place, like roll with it. And then I am just like really getting on board with your second season theory.
Right.
So hopefully you're not completely wrong.
Hashtag second theory, season theory.
But by getting on your, by attributing it to you, if it is wrong, I'd be like, Brian, like you totally led me astray.
I'll blame it on a commenter.
We have a shit ton of questions about the final speculation from the little clip that we got. The Wii clip. Mm-hmm. clip. You ready for this? Alex Panda Moran will kick it off. Thoughts on the first final in a major city? Do you think this is better or worse than One in the Mountains?
I know this is a kind of a lame answer, but I feel like we kind of just have to see it play out, right? I mean, we've never really seen like what they're going to do with it before. Like, I miss, we're not going to have the cool shot of them trying to summon a volcano or them like having miles and miles of desert to walk across. But I mean, I kind of just think we need to like see what they do with it.
What happened to bold, predictive Brian? He's just like, I'm calling it. I don't care.
I don't know. I'm being more political. I don't know.
Diplomatic.
That's the word. But I legitimately just need to see what they're doing with it.
I think that's a really fair response. I think it's like very Amazing Racy, which we may just have to have like Jessica Lease cover the finale and we'll just like go home and go to bed. To separate homes. I don't know why I said it like we have one residence.
Our podcasting studio, of course.
Yeah, obviously. It has bunk beds just like the hotel in Berlin. I think it's interesting. I was wondering that when they said it was Berlin, I was like, where are they doing this in Berlin? Normally it's like in East Jibib, Nowheresville, like South America, and they have like just great expanses of land. But I like that they're shaking it up. I'm going to tentatively say I like that they're shaking this up.
Yeah, I mean, I'm optimistic, but we'll see.
Before you trash them, Daniel Ole Smith says, can we just take a moment to release Jenna, to realize Jenna made it to the final in both seasons she was in?
It's pretty remarkable. My friends gave like a pretty good comparison of Jenna that she's kind of like Eli Manning, where you don't really know how she does it, but like it works out. So there you go. Shout out to Dan Williams.
Sorry, I just totally mitched and fell asleep. Football, what? I don't know. And who are these friends? Like, are they coming to Live Know It All? I was like, what the hell?
I make them up.
These friends you speak of, like, I don't understand.
They're my imaginary friends. Don't make fun of me.
No, Brian has to like agree to go with me because he doesn't want to be there by himself. So he has to like tough it out by like existing next to me.
I don't have friends that come with the RHAP events with me.
Okay, so Edward Morris says, do Jen and Brianna finish the final knowing that there is an eating portion?
Yes, definitively yes. 100% yes.
100% they finish the final.
Yes.
Why do you say?
I don't know. I want to be more definitive than my last answer.
Oh, but last week you said no, no. Someone's quitting. No.
Well, now I have all my bases covered. Don't you see how this works?
Okay, so one thing I want to say is Kara tweeted about the airplane Mitch Watch scene. I don't want to confuse people. It wasn't Mitch Watch, but the little clip of the airplane. Yes, I'm so glad they aired this. We were dying laughing. Literally ate 4 trays of food plus Jenna and Brianna's. Now, if Jenna Brianna cannot eat like Air Berlin airplane food, I don't think they're eating what's on this challenge.
If Jenna really has to quit again because she can't eat something, that I, like as much as I hate to say, like I don't know how she can just keep coming back.
I don't think they're gonna quit. I feel like they're like making it too obvious. Like they're like showing the clips of the eating because they know people are looking for that.
Well, like in the after show, I think they had like a. Kara says something about someone quitting the final,
we have a question about that. Shut up.
I sucked the words back in my mouth.
Gotta skim these questions, bro.
I like to be surprised.
Can't clip the listeners. Okay. So,
sorry,
definitively,
listener.
Are you saying that Jen and Brianna complete the final or do not complete the final?
I say they do.
And now, are you saying that there's a time limit on the eating, or there's a way to avoid the eating, or there's not?
Like, I say they just complete the eating. I say
both
they
of them involved in completing the eating.
Yes.
Okay. You heard it here, everyone. Ding. All right. So now, Brian, we haven't had this out in a while, but I want you to unfold your tinfoil hat and put it on your noggin.
Okay.
All right. You good?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Wendy Jung says, during the after show, and this is a totally original thought we haven't heard just seconds before. During the after show, when Kara said something like, do you want to see a team in the final that can't finish it? The camera cut directly to another person. I like how Wendy keeps it discreet. Like, you're not sure. She doesn't want to spoil it for you. Is that foreshadowing that this team is not making it? Or are the editors just trying to throw us off?
I think they're just trying to throw us off.
Even, like, less sophisticated than that, I think it's more of just, like, a reference to the fact that Jenna didn't complete the final.
Actually, yeah, I side more with that. Yeah, I think it's just that.
Now, I didn't influence you or anything. Okay. I have to joke so I don't cry. Edward Morris says, on the after show, Corey seemed V happy. Well, he just said very. But I'm trying to make V a thing, like V happy. And Kara seemed V down. Do you think this means that Corey slash Mitch pull off the upset, or just that Kara was still upset after the whole Abram fiasco?
I don't know. What do you think?
I just don't think. No, that was stupid. I was going to say I just don't think like a show would so obviously spoil it, but like we're talking about the challenge.
That's the thing with the challenge. Like, you don't really know. Like, are they really being this dumb to spoil it? And then they like have a clip in their intro of a card saying Anissa shut up from the second to last episode. So it's like, who knows with this show?
I just think that Kara clearly was in like a really dark emotional state here. So, but Corey was like thrilled. So maybe Corey was just happy to get paid. Like, every team, if they finish, is going to get paid. So, or maybe he wins. I mean, it's very possible.
I mean, we still don't really know the payout structure. So I don't know. Maybe third place doesn't get money. I mean, that's I don't think it's a realistic possibility, but it is a possibility. I mean, that's be a reason why he didn't just give out the payouts.
I mean, because they run it individually, because you're a producer on the show.
Let's do it.
Bottom line is, the whole time, like, I was just way too distracted by the fact that Jen and Brianna are in, like, awful biz cash during the final. Can you explain why they're suited up?
I think that was just for one quick scene. Like, I think.
But then they're in a boat with suits.
Oh, really? I just saw them wearing it while they were eating. I thought it was going to be like dress up for like a business event and eat all this food and then change out. I don't know. They thought that. So like the whole, like, I remember like one of the challenges, you had to dress up in like a wedding dress or whatever.
Yeah, but that was like a wedding themed challenge and it was exes. So it was like you had to eat a wedding cake and like carry them over the threshold. Like that was like
Make them do super weird stuff. Like, you don't question. You just accept it and move on.
And they wanted that, like, DMNC T-shot.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
I don't understand why they're in this awful biz cash. Maybe they're trying to make, like, a Hillary statement. Like, I don't know what MTV's agenda is here.
It would be fun if they have to run the challenge in, like, a suit. That would be fun.
So, moving on a little bit from the final, just to general fun, Rachel on Twitter, Rachel Al Ghul, says, just found out that Mitch works for, say, the production company?
Buna Murray.
He put that puzzle together quick. Starting to wonder if he'd seen it before.
Now, does he actually work for Buna Murray? Or is he like, because I know like reality people put that they work for Buna Murray on their LinkedIn, but it's just because they're a contestant on a reality show?
I asked for more information and she didn't really have any.
I think that's more the thing. Like, he's just.
Is it on his LinkedIn? Like, how are we getting this information?
What's Mitch's last name?
All right, moving on. No, I have no idea, but I mean.
Because I know people do that. Like, I remember seeing some people seeing on their LinkedIn. Like, when we do Are You the One, we look at their LinkedIn. It says they work for Buna Murray or whatever, or MTV or whatever it is.
It's also not unheard of that, like, people end up working for the networks or reality shows, production companies, or casting of the shows that they're on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think this is like a conspiracy that like they're cheating and Mitch is like getting an advantage. I think
Mitch would take on a whole new meaning. It would be like a whole like CSI episode.
No, I just think that with her, like, I tweeted right back to Rachel, like, in fairness, everyone has seen that puzzle. So, you know, it checks out. Chris, who has a great Twitter handle at Brosafe Bank, says, challenge is wrapping soon and no Are You the One for months. Can I sell you on the idea of a Redneck Island pod?
Can you sell me on the idea of an off season?
I don't need to sell you on anything, but have you heard or watched Redneck Island?
I have not.
Okay, so
I'm not really an MTV fan except for these shows.
This is not an MTV. So Tim Heberlin recommended to me that I watch Redneck Island, and I had heard like a little bit about how this was like very challenge-esque. And so I watched the first episode, and I just want to recommend this show to anyone who's watching the show and can deal with us podcasting about this, because then you have like a good sense of humor, like you're cool and I like you. So it's hosted by Steve Austin and Melissa Rycroft, which is a ridiculous combination. Wait, that makes no sense.
Like WWE Steve Austin?
Did I stutter? No, yeah, yes.
I don't know. Like maybe it's different, like pop culture Steve Austin that I don't know about.
Let me just check that, because now I'm self-conscious because I was like so cocky about it.
Mainly because I don't really hear him called just Steve Austin that much. Like I usually hear the Stone Cold in front of it.
Stone, comma, like, or Austin, comma, Stone Cold Steve. So this season is literally like fresh meat, where it's like, I don't know, X amount of veterans, these are veterans, and I don't know any of them because I've never seen before, and X amount of rookies, and the vets have to pick a rookie partner, co-ed, and they have like some redneck challenge, and I'm using their words, I don't use the phrase redneck if anyone's offended, but like they just like do a giant slip and slide the first episode and like swim out really far and have to paddleboard back, and then the elimination is literally called the pit. At 100, would I lie to you, Brian?
Is it really?
And wow. It's like, you know, there's a hookup the first night. Everyone's got accents. You have a problem with accents, don't watch this, Anissa. But it's just like fun and funny. And so I'm going to keep watching it. So if anyone's watching it, let me know. I recommend it. It's on CMT, as expected. So that's just a plug for anyone who wants some more challenge-y things.
Perfect.
Do I have to have anything else? I have nothing. Am I a disappointment to you?
No, you don't have to. No, you're good. No. It's fun to make sure.
Incredible. I'm having a good time. Ooh.
Perfect.
Love it.
Fantasy update, you win. It's 100%
whoop,
over.
Whoop. Do I have everyone left? I don't have everyone left.
No, I have Jamie and Jenna. You have Cara, Brianna, Corey, and hashtag Mitch Watch.
So I'm in. I'm probably going to get, unless they run the final individually or TJ decides to single out people with You Killed It.
Right.
I have everyone you have and more.
Exactly.
But I could lose points. Can you DQ a final if you quit?
Yeah, but then I would also get, unless Corey and Mitch also, yeah, if Corey and Mitch DQ.
Well, if they quit, it would have to say disqualified across
the
bottom.
Well, you could, like, last year in the final, like, Jay and Jenna lost, like, 80 points because they quit. They had, like, TJ disgust. They had, like, everything. So, like, it was pretty epic.
Do I would like to know if I even have the possibility, like, if
no,
Corey
you're up,
and Mitch.
You're up 1330 to 880.
So, even if Corey and Mitch do everything possible to lose points.
The only way that I can win is if Jamie eats Jenna from and I get cannibalism points, and then they might need to eat someone else, and they might need like double cannibalism.
Don't they
points.
Only need to threaten cannibalism?
That's right, he needs to threaten it, but then I need like multiple.
How many points do you get for threatening cannibalism?
100. Oh, I can also get this if Jenna gets pregnant during the final, then I'm good to go. So Jenna, get on that.
Maybe that's the baggage that Anissa has to air. Is that now, if it just comes out that Jenna is pregnant, is that enough, or did she have to get pregnant on the final?
I think that's like I need Jamie and Jenna to have sex and get pregnant, and then Jamie eats like your entire team, and then I'll win. So that I mean that's pretty realistic. So I'm good to go.
I mean anything's possible.
Anything's possible.
Keep hope alive. I also like to shout out to the patron. Fantasizer League we had. I also am in prime position to win that, although Edward Morris is on my heels, so we will see. But I you know, it's like Anissa says, if you don't try, you don't work at it, you just show up, like you deserve to win.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm proving right now.
There you go. And just a quick fun shout out to our 5-star reviewers for the week. We got
woohoo! Do I have to do your thing?
You woo-hoo! Do you have to do the woohoo. Yeah, we got the other Jeff, Rai Rai Norcal, Zimmy Zell B, and Andra F.
Thank you.
Woohoo!
You can't do both. It's you read it or you woo. Now you can do whatever you want.
So I looked at my DVR. I thought next week was the finale. It doesn't look like next week's the finale. The week after that is a Banana Land shit show of a challenge night. So be prepared, everyone. It could be like a 4-hour night. So
when you say Banana Land, you mean it's all about bananas, or you just just your
banana is gonna show up in the final and run it. So that's gonna be the big twist.
So expect a nice whopping TBC for everyone for next week.
I really hope they do it like they did. Didn't they end last year's or 2 years ago final on a 2B continued of Zach almost dying? I hope they do that again. I want to see someone like almost dying as a 2B continued. That would be a lot of fun.
The one thing is, I'll never say a TBC is going to be a lot of fun. But I meant to say this last week, but I forgot. And I can pull it up now since you mentioned Yabu Bananas. He tweeted, people were giving him and Vinny shit. I can't imagine why. Where is it? Okay. So he tweeted, it was like right around when he was tweeting like at Vinny Pigs, like, my strength, I love you. Like, that was the hardest challenge I've ever done. Like, you're my best friend and I'm obsessed with you. He also tweeted, oh, the stalling can only go on so long. scroll. Okay. He tweeted, dear haters, we have so much more for you to be mad about. Just be patient. Love you, Cuzzo, at Vinny Pig at MTV. And then he put a video, I think, of his speech. But is that him foreshadowing to next season? Or is there like stuff that's going to come out at the reunion?
That.
All right. You're going from bold to not bold to bold to no prediction.
You got to keep it on your toes.
Oh, if I wasn't sitting down, I'd be so on my toes.
Everyone's just pacing right now.
Goodbye.
Next week, episode 12, not the finale. Subscribe, robiswebsite.com/challenge iTunes. Follow on Twitter at BusDriversRap. Or.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
At last week's. And we'll be back next week.
I choose not to run.
Have a good one.